I'm excited. I'm not preaching this morning, but I am going to be joined up here with not these two gentlemen. They're helping me out, but I'm going to be up here with five ladies. I wanted to preface that because if I said five ladies and all you saw was Kevin and Rob up here, anyways, I'm going to be joined up here with five ladies in our church family who have been connected through one of our life groups, the Moms Group, that began in the midst of lockdowns, in the midst of regulations concerning the COVID experience over the last few years, and just what God has done in them. And so I've been able to kind of be a bit of a fly on the wall, not really in the same room, but like a fly on the wall a couple buildings away from this Moms Group, and just kind of seeing and hearing and looking in. And I've got to tell you, as a pastor, the greatest encouragement that you could give to me is not to tell me how great I'm doing. But if you want to bless my heart as a pastor, tell me how great other people in this church are. When I hear about people being blessed by other people in the church, it makes me happy. It makes me smile. Because if the only person you celebrated in this church was me, you know what that means? I got to keep working harder to make you happy. But if the church is the church, and if the church is the body of Christ, then we actually bless one another. And this Moms Group has been such a source of blessing to one another. And I remember in the midst of COVID lockdowns on the phone, actually, with Pastor Allison, and she was saying, hey, I've been connecting with Rita, and Rita has this desire to start this Moms Group. And I was just thrilled. And so I'm going to ask, ladies, would you come on up? And would you, church family, would you welcome them as they come, Jenny and Rita and Melissa and Alicia and Tara, as they come. I'm gonna. Can I kick you out, Jenny? Is it bring? No, I'm over here. You're over there. No, Jesus says that if you want to be the greatest, you have to be the least. So I'm going to come way over here this morning. So, good morning, ladies. I can't tell you how excited I am for this morning. I've had this on my heart for many months, that as I've just been hearing about what God has done in this group, and one Friday, I accidentally joined the life group, because Fridays used to be my day off. Now it's Mondays, but it used to be Fridays. And I took Natalie to the park one day. I'm like, oh, hey, Jenny. Oh, hey, Tara. Oh, hi, Rita. They were all there having their life group at this park. And so I got to join in. I got to be the one dad at the Moms Group. And so I've had this on my mind that I wanted them to come up and just tell us what God has been doing in their hearts in terms of just being a source of blessing and strength to one another. And so let's do this. And let me pray before we start. God, we thank you for your faithfulness. And Lord, I just thank you for these five daughters of the King that you love with a love beyond words. And I pray, Lord, that as they share from their heart this morning, that we would have ears to hear what your Spirit is saying through them to us. And Lord, that you would bless us as a church family this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. Who brought the Kleenex? We came up with the Kleenex ready. Okay. All right. So, talk to us first. Did you all know each other before the group began? No? Somebody tell us a little bit. Did you know anybody? Some of you knew some.
So I knew all of them except for Tara, and then there were a bunch that I met along the way. So just to kind of start, So my name's Rita, by the way, and I'm married to Rob, and we have three children. We have Ella, who's 12, and then Naomi, who's 9, and then a 2.5-year-old. So that the 2.5-year-old Caleb is the one who started this all, I would say. And I thought, you know, when I had Caleb that I was going to be one of the only moms. having this baby. And when I started sharing with other people, they're like, well, so am I. You know, Amy is like, I'm pregnant. And Alicia says, I'm pregnant. And Jenny's like, I'm pregnant. And then, you know, it was just, and Mary Claire, and I'm missing people. I think there was, and Faith, yes. And Julia. And so there was just all of these women. I thought, wow, God, like, this is amazing. I'm not going to be doing this on my own. And then it wasn't until 2021 that I met Tara online, and then Melissa I knew, but then she had Alexis in 2021. So, yes. I can share actually just that in 2020, when I did actually try to gather the moms together, and I think there were a lot of people who were sick, so we ended up canceling. And then we thought, that's okay. This was in March. That's all right. We'll do it in a couple weeks, right? No, because the world shut down. And then I thought, no problem. We'll just wait, right? Because it was only going to be, what, 2 weeks maybe? Well, we all know how that turned out. And when it was still in lockdown in 2021, the Lord's like, I would like you to gather them on Zoom. And I thought, no way. Am I going on Zoom? Like, I don't want to be on a screen. And I want people in my home, and I want this to be, you know, casual. And Jenny's like, I'll be there, Rita. I'm like, okay, Jenny. And I remember Jenny's like, I'll pray with you. And so that's kind of how it started. So I just went on Zoom, and with a terrible phone that had terrible volume, and I was like, but I'm doing this. And so the Lord had put, you know, speak about the armor of God and your identity in Christ. And so that is what I would speak to them about. And they got to know each other on Zoom. So sometimes I would be on there and I would be speaking. They would all be on mute because babies would be crying. And then I would see just a couch in one screen. So like Jenny would be off somewhere, but they would have me on full volume and I would just keep speaking the word or whatever. And so, but yes, there would be times that I would just see a couch and hope that someone in the house is listening. But yeah.
That's awesome. So all of you had babies born in 2021. Was it all?
2020 and then 2021.
2020 and 2021.
2020 and then 2021.
Okay, so talk to us about what it was like having a baby in the midst of lockdowns. And not that we want to relive all the pains of that, but yes, talk to us about what it was like having a baby in 2020 and 2021. Tara?
Yeah, I'll take this one. All right. So I'm Tara, by the way. My husband is Ian. Most of you know he got saved last week. Hallelujah. yeah. And he's not afraid to show it. We have Abby, who's 4. She's usually dancing in her unique outfits. And Noah, who was born December 2020. So for me, already, I said no. but anyway, so Ian and I had gone shopping March 2020. And as you probably remember, the bare shelves, no toilet paper anywhere. Who remembers the toilet paper? So we sat down at the table and we were trying to conceive at the time, and we said, is this responsible? Is it wise to bring a child into this world right now, where it's going? At that time, I was only a believer for maybe 6 months-ish. So my faith was, I did not have a foundation, so I was more based in fear than faith. And we sat down and we had said, okay, like, we don't know. Well, not even a week later, the Lord answered and said, you may not have the faith, but I have the power. And we were already pregnant during that conversation. Woo! So that was an interesting one. Thank you, Jesus, because I don't know if it was left up to us. I don't know what we would have decided. But then going through the pregnancy alone, like I don't have family support like that. And being a new believer, I had lost a lot of friends, a lot of like very close people in my life. So I kept praying and praying. Please, Lord, bring me some like-minded women. Because I, being a mother, I had no idea how to be a mom. And he answered. But being pregnant at the time and having a traumatic birth with Abby, I had to really, like, I had touch and go with my faith. Like, I would be in the Bible, and then I would be out, and I would be in the world and looking for answers that way. Google, man. Like, don't get lost in that trap. And he's convicted me on that. Like, stop talking to Google. I'm right here. And so I got really lost for a long time until I had to go for some tests. And I was determined to have my home birth with this child. So I had to go for tests, which really threatened that. And we had kept this pregnancy on the down low. We hadn't announced it like we had with the first one. We didn't make like such an ordeal. And then I had reached out to Pastor Tim. And he's like, I didn't even know you were pregnant. Like, it was an announcement and a request for prayer. And so that was amazing. But because of these tests, I was led back to the Lord. And the hunger just for his word. And I was just soaking it in and reading the book, The Supernatural Childbirth. And just, he was just filling my, that emptiness, like all those answers I was trying to find. So being alone in COVID, trying to figure that out, but it was amazing seeing all the blessings he was putting around. Like my midwife team was amazing, and they, although I don't even know if they were believers or not, doesn't matter, he works through everybody. And they were just incredible through the entire time, keeping me on track with my plans, knowing what I wanted. And I would, like, I did a lot of art therapy, but I would add scripture. So he's just pouring these visions into my mind, and I'm putting them in art. And he's just, so all around the house, I just had all this scripture and art that he, and it was amazing. So even in times alone, he is there.
So my name is Jenny, and my husband is Dave, and our daughter is Vienna. She is now 2.5. We had had Vienna in June of 2020, and it within the first month it actually resulted with illness. Now she is healed, and she is well in Jesus' name. However, it led us down a really difficult path because it was in a time of unknown. First, I didn't know if I was going to give birth in a hospital, if I'd have to wear a mask while giving birth, and just other unknowns that is it safe to be doing all of this when you really have no choice. You have a child coming and you have to make a decision. So anyways, the Lord really blessed that. My midwife was already at the hospital the morning that I went into active labor. So I was very thankful because I still didn't know. And so the Lord just faithfully had answered that. However, on her 28th day of being alive, she had stopped breathing. And that being said, I was going through recovery. I was attending Celebrate Recovery, and I was connected with Rita. And during that time, I had the knowledge that I have authority. And that's what really got me through that time, because I learned, because what it says in Luke 10:19 is that, look, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and you can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them. Nothing will injure you. So as this knowledge was taking root in me, I was taking authority over my child who was not breathing. And as I walked out that next week and a half calling 911 on the phone with the operator saying, my daughter can breathe in Jesus' name, and taking that authority, saying that this is not her time. She was a miracle. She was not planned. And the Lord did not bring her in my life for her to be taken away. And so I have learned so much. But it doesn't mean that it was an easy road. That situation brought complete fear into my life. And I spent the next several months, I had to move in with my in-laws because I was terrified to be home with my newborn alone while my husband went off to work. But the Lord is so faithful that he provided a safe place for me to go and be and care for my baby. Now, we couldn't go to the hospital together. My husband had to be at the hospital with her without me. So he did the night shift and I did the day shift. And what we did was reach out to our Celebrate Recovery family through this church and to the church itself and just said, we need prayer. And I talked to Rita because this is slightly before the time that we got together. But these ladies helped me walk through overcoming that fear and speaking to that fear, because now that stronghold had come in and said, Jenny, you are fearful. I learned that now I have to take authority over that fear. So over the last several months and now a couple of years, it's learning. I take authority over every sickness and every disease that comes near my child, and that she is well in the name of Jesus.
Hello, my name is Alicia. I'm married to Brett, and we have Emma, who is about two and a half now. Emma was born on March 2020, the day they announced the pandemic. I touched on this a little bit of our journey when Emma was dedicated a few months back. It was a real struggle. The day she was born, everything shut down. And everything changed, and we didn't know what was going to happen. We didn't know how things were going to look. Everything was sort of unraveling. Those first 3 months were probably three of the hardest, with, again, support at a distance. And I think that was, and Terry, you touched on that it just... it ripped us apart. we weren't actually meeting yet. We were just doing kind of porch visits, I remember, because you were still, Rita was still pregnant. You didn't have Caleb till May, and I remember you coming. There was a lot happening. I remember thinking, you know, things are, how is this ever going to change? And it was a really big struggle to sort of figure out how we were going to cope with that, and just having that family and friends connection that we couldn't have, and just really grieving that process. Through that developed quite a bit of anxiety around that and fear about that, and reached a point where it was weighing quite heavily on me. When we started meeting, it was a little bit strange because we did everything through Zoom. I did not know any of these ladies except Rita. So we all met online, basically, and this is all we saw. And when we finally started seeing each other in person, it was like we were meeting each other all over again. And, oh, okay. And they've been extremely supportive, and we have bonded in ways, I think, that I could not have anticipated. And it's been a real pleasure to be a part of, and to have friends that care, and to pray through all of those things and have that anxiety broken, to have that fear broken, and to know that there is hope, and the devil will try and tear you down. And this has become spiritual warfare to say, no, we're not going to stand for that. And so I'm really thankful for that.
It's awesome. So tell us some stories about reaching out to one another in a time of need. Melissa, I know you have a story. Do you want to share? Yeah.
So I was one of the last ones to get pregnant. I remember before everything had shut down, I remember hearing numbers in the church. There were 8 women pregnant. Well, now there's 9 women pregnant. And I remember just being like, this is amazing. This is going to just all the babies. I was so happy. I was not one of them at the time, but I was so happy for everybody else. And when the pandemic had started and we were at home a lot, and I started purging my what was left of my baby stuff and saying goodbye and letting everything go. And I had one bin left for another friend, and I had my stroller left, and I had just cleaned it up to take photos. And I was like, I feel kind of funny. And then I took a test, and the test was positive. And I'm like, are you kidding me? because I got pregnant in September of 2020. So my entire pregnancy, all of my midwife appointments, all of my like doctor visits, all my ultrasounds, everything was through all of that. So none of it was normal. My husband could only go to one appointment with me, which is at McMaster. And so I had to do, it was weird. I don't remember. I'm off track. I'm sorry.
Tell us the story. You reached out to Rita.
Yeah. Yeah.
She offered to bring you tea.
Oh, that, okay.
Or whatever you want to share, yeah. But
there's so many stories.
I love this story.
Like, I have all
you
kinds of stories in my head.
You say whatever you want to say.
Like Jenny thinking I was taller than I was because she only ever saw me on Zoom. And oh, and I'm Melissa, by the way. I didn't even introduce myself. So I announced, when we announced that we were pregnant virtually by text message, oh, by the way, we're pregnant, and then Rita invited me to join in the group, and I met everybody online. And then after Alexis was born, these ladies, like, so the point with the tea was more about, like, asking for what you need, and that he provides everything. And you just have to ask. And I'm one to kind of keep to myself and not ask for help and very independent. And my husband always says, need me. Like, if I need to reach, I'm short. If I need to reach something, I grab a stool or I grab a pair of tongs. When you're pregnant, you use tongs a lot. But he's like, need me, ask for help. So, and I had to learn that with my Heavenly Father to ask him for help too. A lot of it is trying to do things on my own strength and learning. And cannot do it in my own strength. I couldn't do any of this in my own strength. And so through the pregnancy, I prayed for friends, just like Tara did. I had prayed for friends a long time ago, which was how I had originally met Rita. I had prayed for Christian friends. And then when this happened, I said, I prayed again for friends. I need friends who are in the same time of life as me, who are going through pregnancy or have small children, to come alongside me, because I knew I couldn't do it by myself. And then giving away all of my baby stuff, and now I need baby stuff, and everything is locked down. You can't even buy toilet paper. How am I going to buy baby stuff? You go online, and nothing's in stock. It's like, what am I going to do? And then after she was born, right before she was born, and then I needed all this, I made a list, and I'm like, I'm just going to make a list. And he said, yep, make a list. What do you need? I wrote down everything I needed, thinking, there's no way, like, we're just going to have to, we'll make do with a couple of sleepers and pack, like maybe we'll find some diapers out there. Maybe we'll cloth diaper because diapers don't exist right now because they're all sold out everywhere. Just make the list. And then I think it was either the same day or the next day that Rita reached out and said, hey, what do you need? And I'm like, well, funny, I just made a list and here you go. And then they organized a baby shower in the background, a virtual Zoom baby shower. That was kind of interesting. And like... Alicia shows up at my house, and she's like, I'm just going to drop off a couple things. And she brings a bag. I'll be right back. She goes to the car. But here's another. I'll be right back. I'm like, so before I know it, my whole like porch and my living room and my front entry is full of everything we needed. Yeah. And then after she was born, they made meals for us. And because we were at home and couldn't go out anywhere and nobody was coming to visit us. So they brought meals and left them on the porch. And my husband even commented how loved he felt. He had never felt so loved by people that he didn't even know. And then we were having some feeding struggles, Alexis and I. She ended up having to have a tongue tie clipped. That was quite the ride. The first 4 weeks, just trying to feed this baby was a challenge. And I thought I needed tea. So I was trying all the things to feed this baby, and this tea, I had fixated, I'm out of my tea, I need my tea, is anybody going to the grocery store, can somebody get me tea? And I think I reached out to Tara, because she had gotten me the first box of tea. And then I guess she texted Rita.
Well, it was funny because I'm at Walmart and I'm sitting there waiting for my order, right? Because you pre-order and you're waiting there. And so all of a sudden I get a text from Tara. Hey, something about Melissa, you know? And I was like, oh, is she not doing very well? So I thought, okay, I'll just text her. Hey, Melissa, do you need anything? And next thing I know, she's like, well, actually, I need this tea. So I'm like, what kind of tea? You get it at the health food store. It's like to increase your milk supply. So I was like, oh, yeah, okay, no problem. So I go over, you know, get this tea because I was right in that same plaza. And then I thought, oh, I'll just come stop by and, you know, drop off the tea. And I leave my kids in the vehicle. Do you want me to keep telling the rest of this story? So I arrive, and then Lord's like, you know, just ask if you can pray over Alexis, pray over this milk supply. And so at this time, though, technically you weren't allowed in people's homes. You're not allowed to touch people. You're not allowed to, right? Like, this is all, it's so awkward, so awkward. And, you know, because a mama needs lots of hugs and lots of emotional support, and babies need touch, and you need support from people. So anyways, I get to the door, and I just said, hey, can I come in? Can I just pray for you guys? And she's like, yeah, come on in. I'm like, okay. So I go in, and I'm like, can I actually hold Alexis? And she's like, yeah, here's Alexis. Alexis was, like, fussing a little bit and just kind of, and so I held her in my hands, and I began to pray, and I just, the Holy Spirit just washed over all of us, and Alexis stopped fussing. She was so peaceful. And you can finish the rest of the story. But
so the word that Rita had gotten at the time was a land flowing with milk and honey. And what she didn't know was that my name means honeybee. So that, like, spoke directly to me, and it was just a source of encouragement. But simple things like ask for tea. So what I wanted to share this morning was throughout the entire pandemic, for me, it was Jehovah Jireh. God provides. My God will provide. And it started out with a silly little jar of yeast. And I'm thinking, there's no bread on the shelves. Maybe I'm going to have to make bread. Throw out the jar of yeast. Trust me, I will provide. So it just kept getting more and more and more. So it was the jar of yeast. And then my husband lost his job. And then now I'm having a baby in the middle of a pandemic. And I need tea. But all along the way, every time it was ask for what you need. Ask for it. It might be simple like a tea. It might be a big thing like a job for your husband, but he will provide. All you have to do is ask.
It's awesome. So talk to us about how your faith grew being connected to these group of moms. Talk about some of your faith journeys and where you felt the Lord was just strengthening you.
Okay, if you know Rita, she just, when I met Rita, she was different. I was praying too, as it's a collective agreement among all of us, praying for friends that are followers and believers of Christ. Now Rita, she just exuded and emanated Jesus. Just the love and joy that he really has for everybody. I see her connect with every new mom that comes to the church. I see her just do all of that just out of the love of Jesus that's in her heart. So anyways, how does this tie into faith? It comes down, like, it's the Great Commission. He has commissioned all of us. And as I've seen Rita receive the commission that the Lord has given her, it's given me faith to do the same for my life as I continue to ask the Lord, what's next? But also, she taught on authority. She talks about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, praying in tongues, and all of these knowledge, but the revelation that really was driven home. And when Rita really has passion, she has passion. And so with her ability to speak forth the word of God, it's been such a blessing, because she believes. She doesn't just believe it for herself, but she believes for every single person. Who they are in Christ is who he made them to be, not what the world has to say about us. Because, and it's funny, I was thinking about this morning, because when your child gets sick, it's like the world has placed this thought, actually the devil, places this thought in your mind, you're a mom, you should worry for your child. Well, where does it say that in the Word of God? It doesn't. And so taking the authority over that thought is like, no, I can actually have peace in the midst of my circumstance. And so meeting on Zoom was such a blessing because the word of God can go forth over the internet. Why can't it? And that led, like, answered prayer. You can hear from each and every one of us. We prayed for women, Christian friends going through a similar season as us, and it has been such a blessing to meet those women, but to also have that rooted and grounded in Christ. That's where the relationship has really flourished. It's pointing each other to Jesus, and that's how faith is renewed, and that's how faith becomes stronger, because even though these circumstances have come our way, the Lord is and has been creating and establishing a foundation through the body of Christ.
Can you repeat the question? Yeah.
So for me, my faith was encouraged because, like I was saying, we're asking for things and things are happening. But whenever someone needed something, you would ask for prayer and someone would get a verse. Someone would get a song. Someone would get a word. And then as you're hearing other people's prayers also being answered, it just further encourages your own faith. Well, if he'll answer their prayer, then why won't he answer mine? Like, so your faith just starts to grow and grow and grow. And you hear more testimony and you hear more, like, positive outcomes. And you hear husbands coming to Christ, and you hear, like, needs being met, and our children are thriving and they're still doing so well, and it just continues to build you up. The more you hear that, the more you share with each other when good things are happening, share when your prayers are being answered, even if they are little, even if they're big, like, share them. It doesn't have to be like a big life-changing testimony to be a testimony.
Yeah. Well, I could talk forever, so you might have to cut me off. So, as I said, I was a new believer. So that's almost 40 years of being taught by the world. So, and then being in COVID and having the world screaming at you, like, it's wild. But in that time, like, I love Jesus with all my heart. But I was still being swayed by the world. Like, no, no, no. Like, I was bought this mug that said, you don't need a manual, you have a mom. I was like, well, if that's not the boldest lie I've ever heard, because mom don't know nothing. And like, so I actually had to put that cup right in the back because it really screamed at me, like, you are doing a horrible job. You don't know what you're doing. So for me, building the faith was monumental. And having the prayer answered, like, I am surrounded by godly women. It's not one woman, it's women. And he has brought that. It's like he's just bringing them in. And any form of fear that I have, they will tell me, no, Tara, that is fear. You cast them. They have no fear in telling me that I know that's not right. And that's what I need. He knew exactly who I needed, and he's provided them. And at one point, I fell away from the faith because we hit a situation, and I fell into darkness. But they didn't give up on me. I tried isolating. I tried leaving. Like, I didn't go to outings. I didn't contact them because the devil was telling me, you ask for too much prayer. You're going to turn them away, so you might as well leave before they leave you. But they don't leave you. They persist because that's how God works. So to build my faith, and it's one little thing that you say, like when God puts a nugget of truth in your heart, you share that nugget because you have no idea what that impact is. Because one little, and it's like your light's been snuffed out. And like, it was like, aha. And that evening I went home and that one little word delivered me. And I have been back firm in my faith ever since. Like, no, I am a daughter of the King. This is who I am. And so it's this group of ladies, like, do not isolate. If you are isolating, that is the work of the devil. He is telling you to get away from people. He is putting you in the dark. So the light, you need the light, the night. So encouraging my faith, I can, as I said, I could go on forever. I'm going to stop now. It's just.
Alicia, you want to? Yeah.
So, Tara, you actually reminded me of a few things actually during our Zoom. And I can't remember, I think it was a morning, there was a few of us that weren't on. I was having a rough morning with Emma, and I walked away from the computer, I remember, and I could hear Rita and Melissa just chatting in the background, and I'm just having a hairy morning. And I'd kind of had enough and just couldn't take it. And the same, like, that isolation gets you. It's like you know, what I've really learned is, you know, there's truths and there's lies that we listen to, and the lies come from the devil, and God has truth that replaces that. And I slammed my computer down and then mid-conversation I was just gone, and I started crying and was upset, and it was just one of those overwhelming mornings. And and then I remember getting a text after, I think it was from either one of you, are you okay? Like, you know, and yeah, just having a rough morning. Well, we wanted to pray for you, and, you know, if there was something, you know, that you needed help with. And time and again, and that was just one example, that, you know, these ladies have been here, and through our brokenness and our struggles, that we have all struggled in different ways. We're all on a journey. We have all brought different gifts to the table, and together, we have been so enriched by that, and I think we've all grown maybe closer to each other, but even, you know, to Christ, and constantly pointing us back to Christ. And it really resonated with me that, you know, you don't have to be alone. The world thinks you have to be alone because it's COVID, and you're not supposed to see anybody, you're not supposed to do anything. And every Friday, there we were, on the screens until we were able to see each other in person, and it has made all the difference. I can't even put into words really what that has meant, and especially at a time when it was so surreal to go through isolation with a baby. It's kind of feeling like you're under house arrest and there's no escape from it, and you know, so it was huge. And I want to add too that if you know that talking with us is one thing, but I will say that I know Brett had made comments to me that I can't believe these girls, and I can't believe, you know, what's come from this and what a transition that has made, and through those years, what it has been from when it started to 2020 to 2022. So I wasn't planning on doing this, but I've been prompted. This whole 2 years, it has been a journey, and we're excited that we are going to be welcoming baby number two, and really excited about that. So, and no pandemic this time.
We are also welcoming baby number two.
If anyone else is expecting, just stand and we'll applaud you at the same time. So I got to spend, I'm going to hand over to Rita to tie a ribbon on this in a moment. But just before I do that, Rita, this is such a blessing to me, and I know it's a blessing to you, but I got to spend over the COVID season, every single one of you, I was on the phone with you or meeting with you or doing a front yard visit or a backyard visit or a living room visit. I think your living room was the first living room we were in early in the pandemic. And so I got to be a pastor to each of you in those moments. But to know, to see all and to hear all of these things that you've been able to experience, the richness of the church, I guess what I'm trying to just say again and again, it's the richness of the church. Church is not about the staff, a sermon, a service. It's the people. It's the people. It's the people. It's the people. And so, Rita, why don't you close us off with a little bit of the vision. You were the one who started this. You were the one who had this vision to do this. Melissa, did you want to say something first? Sure. Is there a microphone there?
Yeah.
Oh, you got one.
Yeah. I sent the write-up to you, and literally the next day, my devotional was about community and about the church and about coming alongside people. The verse that was that day was, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. And it talked about how we're made for community, how God designed us to be together and to share our burdens of life together. And I just thought that was funny how that was the very next day. Here I am writing about these friendships and what came out of it because of the church and because we were gathering together, and the next day my verses about friendship and community. So I thought that was cool.
That's awesome. Thanks, Melissa. So Rita, talk to us. God put this on your heart for you to bring these women together, get them grounded in God's word.
I have a lot to say, but I'll make it short and snappy. It's actually very personal to me, to be honest. I grew up in a Christian home, and I was saved at a young age. And my parents are very godly people, and they actually got saved after they were married. And I'm super, super thankful for that. But we also grew up, I think, in more of a, I don't know, I had the wrong perception of who God is and who I was. So when I got saved, I actually, you know, would ask the Lord to, like, save me over and over and over again, because I feared so much that I didn't do it right. I didn't say it right. I have to say it multiple times. If I make a mistake, then I'm going to hell. So I lived under this fear. Until finally, I mean, I was much older, and finally I had this revelation, I'm saved. But it took so long. And you know, during that time, there were just so many instances where I just felt insecure. I listened to a voice I didn't realize was the devil. I thought it was my own thoughts. And so even though I was super happy on the outside, I had a positive outlook on life, inside there was this voice that just kept telling me, you know, look at so-and-so. You know, they're so much better. Don't you wish you had that? Don't you wish, like, this is young people, don't compare yourself to someone else. I am telling you, because God made you for you. He has a plan for you. And when you step off and start looking at so-and-so, you're stepping off the path that God has foreordained for you before you were born. So please look at yourself and say, I am so thankful, God, that you created me, me. And just find out your identity in Christ. So I had, again, these fears. I had fear of sickness. I remember in my bedroom one night, I was so fearful. I was stuck in my bed. I could not move because it was dark and it was in the middle of the night. And I was just like, I felt this presence and I didn't know what that was. I have now discovered that that is a spirit of fear. And I remember opening up my Bible and it fell open to the peace I leave with you. You know, it vanished. Well, it vanishes because it's a spirit. It's evil, and it has no place in our lives. And I didn't know this. There was times where my mom, I would actually get into a fit of rage. I was so angry. I would get so angry. You would never see this outside, but in my home, I don't know, something would just throw me off and I would just yell, I would scream. And my mom pulled me aside and said, Rita, that's not right. And this is when I was in my elementary years, and I remember just turning to God and I said, help me. Help me, God. And you know, within 1 week, it was gone. And I felt such a freedom in my heart. I didn't know what happened in the spiritual realm, again, because I didn't know that there's a devil lying to me. He's whispering these things. He's trying to tell you that you're no good. You know, you need to be somebody else. And so I'd be, you know, this feeling of, and this has no reflection on my parents. My parents are so loving and so good and brought me to church, but the devil, he can still speak to the kids, right? He's speaking to adults. He's speaking to young people. Don't listen to the voice of the enemy. So when I got pregnant, I got married, wonderful man of God, praise Jesus. But I was fearful of even getting married. Something I really wanted to do. And again, that voice. When we started having children, I experienced miscarriages. I experienced all these things. And I just thought, well, you know, it happens for a reason. That is a lie. That is a lie. And I remember being in church, and after I'd experienced this miscarriage, and they're singing this song, He gives and takes away. And the Holy Spirit said, no. I don't give and I don't take away. Like, I give, I don't take away. I bring life. And I thought, what was that? Like, I'm like, wow, like that was, it was so profound to me that I stopped singing that song. And Pastor Tim has actually mentioned that before. But, you know, I thought, okay. And so it was when Naomi was about a year and a half, that my mom started introducing me to some speakers. Let me just back up a second. But so she's a year and a half, and I just sensed the Lord saying, Rita, I want you to put down those novels, and I want you to pick up the Word of God. Because every time a novel would win out, you know, I was teaching Sunday school. I figured I know all the good parts in the Bible. I know I'm going to heaven. God's going to answer me. Yes, sometimes, maybe, no, I'm not sure, right? And I saw God's faithfulness. Like, my mom had been healed. I had seen these things, but it was almost like He was out here somewhere. You know, and I'd pray and I'd beg. Like, I remember being my teenage years and there was these thoughts that would come. You may never be able to have children. It was just a thought. These things that come. And so I remember begging God, God, I just want one. At least one, please. At least one. We don't have to beg God. It's already a promise. If you're a child of God, He says that's a blessing of the Lord. And you stand on the Word of God. Because He has children for you. It's in the covenant. And it's so powerful. You don't have to beg God. And so the Lord is saying to me, he says, you know, you have a very good relationship with your husband right now. And you need to keep it that way. Because there were so many broken marriages, Christian relationships falling apart at this time. And he says, you need to keep it that way, so the novels need to go down. And I had a choice. We all have a choice. And I put the novels down that day, and I picked up the Word of God. I went to a ladies' Bible study. And my mom started a Bible study. And we would read the Word. And we would read the Word. And then there were these speakers that spoke grace, truth, your identity in Christ. I was so hungry. I did not realize I was actually starving spiritually. And because I thought I was good. This is a lie of the enemy. If we think that we are good and we don't need to open up the Word of God because, you know, it's okay to do it once in a while. No, we need to be fed every day from his truth. We need to know who we are in Christ. We need to know that what Jesus did at the cross is that he paid for everything. He paid with his own body. He paid the whole price, the whole penalty. And he came to live inside of you. The entire kingdom of God is on the inside of you. Isn't that powerful? Like, I was blown away that I had been living my life starving, and not having this understanding that God is always good. Even though I'd experienced terrible things, God wasn't in those terrible things. He didn't create that. But he was there holding my hand and leading me back to the Word and saying, I am good. I love you. I just want you to be in relationship with me. Things are going to go well, Rita. Just trust me. Trust me. And you know, as a new mom, you remember I was talking about that rage, you know, that anger. All of a sudden it starts to come back and I'm thinking, no. Like, what's going on here? And you go to the doctor's office, and they've got this measuring tool, right? They're like, okay, so they've got this many words, right? Make sure they got this many words, and you're feeding them this much, and you're doing this and this and this. And I'm like, yeah, okay. And then you go to child number two, and all of a sudden, it's A-okay to feed them something else, right? Like, it's like peanut butter at 6 months, then it's peanut butter at a year, and then it's peanut butter at 3 years. I don't know. Like, it changes. It's just like, honestly, I was like, okay. There's like so much change happening. Like, how am I going to keep up with this? And then I would hear, you're a terrible mom. Why can't you have your home spectacular like so-and-so? Why doesn't your child behave like this person? They seem to have it all together. And I would listen to these until, like I said, when Naomi was a year and a half. And I started to know the truth. And my mom used to say, Rita, those are lies from the pit of hell. And so every time those lies did not, that voice did not line up with who I was in Christ, I would literally say, that is a lie from the pit of hell. And I kept doing this, and I kept doing this, and I kept doing this. And then there was this one time where, you know, it says, by Jesus' stripes you're healed. You lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I was like, all right. They shall recover. So I just remember Ella was really ill one day. She's lethargic. She's laying there. And I thought, all right, I'm going to just rebuke that illness. And I'm going to just speak the word. And I'm going to lay hands. And it's got to go. And so it didn't go right away. And I thought, all right. You know, I wasn't deterred. So I just kept, you know, I would worship over her. And I was singing over her. And I would actually sing songs of everything that I was learning, just about the goodness of God. And as I'm singing, you know, the armor of God, and I just had this thought, you know, we have the helmet of salvation, which is sozo, which is saved, delivered, healed. It's not just the ticket to heaven. This is like, you're delivered. You're delivered. The enemy is destroyed. Jesus came to destroy the works of the enemy. And so, you know, I'm singing away and I get this vision, all of a sudden I have this revelation that I have the helmet of salvation on my head and I have my feet are shod with the peace of God. I'm like, ooh, the peace of God means wholeness. I was like, ooh, I'm healed from head to toe. This is amazing. And immediately, like, I mean, like, within the shortest amount of time, my daughter gets up and she says, "I'm hungry, Mom." And I said, "Hallelujah. I just saw her healed." Like, I was like, I'm on fire. Like, I was so excited. I was just so excited to see what I'd been listening to of these speakers saying, you can be healed, delivered, set free. I was like, I want to see this in my household. So when I started to see this, I was like, oh, man, this is exciting. This is so exciting. And you know, there was just this one other time, too. Well, there's so many stories that I can tell you of healing happening in our home. And I remember there was even this one other time, I was just praying over my daughter, and I'm speaking Psalm 91, and all of a sudden, I get hit in the face, like just my glasses get hit, and I thought, Ella, why did you hit me? And she says, Mom, I didn't hit you. And her stomach was like in so much pain, and she wanted to go swimming, because we were on vacation. She's like, I want to go swimming, Mom. And so I'm praying over her, you know, and so I get hit, and I thought, wait a second, she's too far away, and this is the wrong angle. You know, I'm like, whatever that was evil, and it just got kicked out. Because right after that, my daughter says, I'm hungry, Mom, and let's go swimming. Amen? Like, I just thought, this is so exciting. And, you know, I kept sharing Jesus because I was so excited. I started seeing this in my own life. And that's why I say this is personal, because it's personal in that God was taking me on this journey and I was getting so excited. I would share with everybody. I'd be giving out books. I'd be just telling them about Jesus. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Like, you can be set free. Like, I was just so excited. But not everybody's excited. And I found in the body of Christ, there is division on this. And I was persecuted. And I was questioned on whether this, you know, whether what I was listening to was false. And I will say I went home that day, when, because it came from multiple angles. And I was devastated. The light of Jesus literally went out like this. And I had no desire to share Jesus. And I thought, what just happened to me? And this is how I ended up at this wonderful church 5.5 years ago. I was broken, confused. Can I just say, Pastor Tim is an amazing pastor. This is how I came. He probably saw lots and lots of tears. He's used to this. This is all good. But I was broken. I was very, very confused. And Pastor Tim just said to me, you know, Rita, you need to know what you believe, what's in the Word of God. And I went to the Word, and I just asked the Holy Spirit. I said, show me. Show me. I joined a life group. They were talking about faith. So, and our pastor is so encouraging. He's so encouraging. And, you know, we were talking about honoring pastor, all the pastors, and just, yeah, I just honor you, Pastor Tim. I really do appreciate that you are so encouraging and you lift people up. And he is preaching the full gospel. So, within a month, that entire oppression had lifted. I was back to preaching Jesus. And I'm just going to share a quick analogy, and then I want to do a declaration over you, because I know that it's getting later. But there was an analogy that the Lord had given me when I was pregnant with, or sorry, when I had had Caleb, and I was nursing him, so it was late at night. And the Lord said, just as I was looking around the room, you know, we prepare the nursery. We get everything ready. I was looking around how I stripped the wallpaper. We painted the walls. We have diapers. We have everything that we need. And the Lord said to me, well, just, and that we're anticipating, right? We're excited. We're excited for this child. We're picking the names. And the Lord just said, this is how I feel about you I anticipated the day you were born. I chose you for the day that you were born. And you are here for a purpose, for a reason. You are chosen. You may be in a bad situation right now, but that's not because of God, okay? We all have choices. But God has a destiny, a purpose, and it's good. It's always good. And you just put your trust in there. And I just feel like young people, just know that you are valuable. You are loved. You are loved. And I felt like this, God gave me this analogy. He reminded me of it on Thursday. And so I don't know if there's someone here that's just wrestling with these thoughts, but He delights over you. He was excited the day you were born because he said, I've pre-planned for your good plan, good works. So just rest in that. And the other thing he said was, we plan so much physically, like we plan all this physical needs, but we need to be prepared spiritually. We need to be prepared to speak to our children, to speak to them about their identity in Christ so that they, because we're going to overflow. When we know who we are, we're going to overflow into our children and we're going to speak blessings, not cursings over our children. We're going to speak blessings over them and we're going to encourage them and we're going to say, yes, God loves you. He has a plan for you and he's after your heart. There is the measuring tool, the only measuring tool we need is the Word of God. That's it. The Word of God, He is going to lead you because every child, He knows their hearts. So when the Lord asked me to do this, to gather the moms, I was excited, but I was also super nervous because I had been persecuted before. And I was fearful. I was fearful of speaking something that wasn't right. And but Jenny came alongside me, just encouraged me, prayed with me. And we got started, and let me tell you, we have seen salvations. We have seen people we've prayed for to be saved, set free. They're not here this morning, but I did ask for permission, but there was a mom, I came to church the one day, and it was in 2021, and I was like, ooh, she looks like about the age, you know, of Caleb. So, hey, you want to come to the moms group? I didn't realize that was her very first Sunday. And the Lord had been leading her to spiritual things. This is the first time they'd stepped foot in church in years and years and years. For her husband, it was the first time. I had no idea. And so she comes out to one of the mom's things. We're at a park. And I'm talking to her. I have no idea what the background is. And I'm trying to tell her about, you know, getting saved. I was like, I had no idea. And so I just turned to her and said, well, would you like to ask Jesus into your heart now? And she goes, yes. I said, all right then, let's pray. And so it was so cool because it was so cold that day and it was cloudy. And in the moment that she's praying, the sun literally is like shining down on us. And then a short time after, it just closed right up. But she got saved, her whole family here comes every Sunday, and they got baptized and recently, and hallelujah, right? Like, God is so, so good. And I'm just going to speak this over you. This is a declaration. This is something I wrote as I was going through with my girls and myself. It just says, this is who God says you are. You are beautiful inside and out because you're made by God and in his image. You are loved and your God has good plans for you today. You are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that you should walk in them. You have purpose. You are chosen by God. You are kind, loving, and honoring toward others. You honor and obey your parents and it will go well with you and you will live long in the land. You hear God's voice because you are his child. You are strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You are filled with God's spirit. He will lead and guide you today.
You have God's power, His love, and a sound mind. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You are forgiven of all iniquities. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus and a new creation in Christ Jesus. You are healed of all diseases by Jesus' stripes. You are redeemed from the curse of the law. You are protected. You dwell in the secret place of the Most High God, and under God's wings you take refuge. He is your refuge and your fortress, your God. In Him you will trust. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. You are filled with His love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You will prosper in all that you do. You are loved, valued, and wanted by God always. You are blessed. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Church, can we thank and honor these women for sharing this morning? Let's stand. Stand, ladies. And I'm going to pray. Lord, we thank you that you are faithful. We thank you, Father, for every good and perfect thing that you have done, are doing, will do. And Lord, as a church today, I pray and we pray for these moms. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for Rita and Tara and Melissa and Jenny and Alicia and every mom who's sitting and standing in this room today, every new mom in our church family. Lord God, the blessing of the Lord is upon families. And we just speak blessings over families. Lord, we speak blessings over married couples who don't yet have a baby, who are believing for a baby. We speak the blessing of the Lord over them, that you would move in them, Lord God, and cause them to be fruitful. Lord, we thank you for your hand upon us today. And I believe, Lord, that as you have blessed our hearts, you will equip us for the future works that you have us to do. Lord, I thank you for these words that have been spoken and shared today. And pray, Lord, that we would not have just enjoyed the hearing, but Lord, we would become doers of the word, that as you have highlighted what we need in our life, God, maybe we need a Christian friend to surround us. Maybe we need that connection, that knowledge of the truth, Lord. I pray that we would start praying that for ourselves, and we believe you're going to bring the people and the truth into our path. Lord, so bless us as we go from here with the power of your Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah.